Blog Talk Radio.
You have room on your team for this little space, bitch.
Welcome, everybody, to Fantasy Football Tonight. I'm your host, Todd, the True Gulafrino, and, of course, I will be joined, as always, well, not always, but most of the time always, by Mr. R.C. Rizza, the number don't lie. Another Fantasy Football week, another Lions debacle, another favoritism call for the Seattle Seahawks, and no Tom Brady. Let's just add in more injuries for the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to try to cover, of course, all the injuries for this week. As we always try to do and try to help you, mostly try to see what we could do with your team to make sure that you can get the awesome roster that you need. As I've been opening my show or our show lately with a little bit of DFS talk, I wanted to touch base on a little scandal that occurred last week where I guess a FanDuel employee won, or sorry, a DraftKings employee won $350,000 on FanDuel. And let me tell you something about DFS. There's always that integrity issue that they have in the world of FanDuel and DraftKings, where people are wondering, like, are people really winning? You know, are what's going on here? And when you start seeing things like that happen, you know the feds are going to get involved. You know there's going to be problems with it, and you know it does attack at the integrity of what is going on with these major sports outlets. DFS outlet. So there is a little bit of a trust issue. You know, I mentioned, several weeks ago when I finished like 1600th or 14th or 1200th, whatever it was, I looked at, the team who won. I'm just like, you have to be insane to pick this roster. I mean, for you to actually pick this roster and start these guys, you know, you had to have borderline insanity to do that. But somebody did. You know, and somebody
God,
got it.
God, I'm good! Can you feel that? Huh? Can you feel it, Captain Compost?
Okay, so I did that a little early. That's how I feel about winning some of my leagues this week. But that aside, Captain Compost, I'm surprised I got any sound bites at work. They just don't work at all. But moving on, at least that one worked. So there is a little bit of a trust issue with DFS, and I'm following it because out here in Las Vegas, we do follow it closely for its gambling impact, and we'll see how that impact continues to go on and see if it little bit of a blip in the trust of fantasy DFS has any impact on what's going on. Anyhow, I want to move on to more important things. Let me tell you something. If you have, then you've got some good luck on your side. Because I'm going to explain a little story of mine. Because, like I said, you know, I think guys like myself, and I love Adam Ronis, by the way. If you guys listen to Adam Ronis for fantasy baseball, I mean, the guy's a giant. He's outstanding. One of the nicest guys in fantasy sports, next, of course, like I always said, Ryan Lester and my own co-host, Mr. R.C. Rizza. But a great guy, but he proves it on the field. And what I mean by the field of play in fantasy sports, not literally on the field. And, you know, when you do that, you show that, hey, it's like not only is the advice I'm giving you real, but it's used by myself or by the person giving it, and it's proven to win. And that is the kicker here. The kicker is proven you can win, which RC and I do. I mean, I hate playing RC, you know, at any point in history. I think this season so far I'm 2-2 against the giant known as RC Rizza from – are you from Staten Island, New York, RC? Let me guess. Is it Staten Island you're from?
Staten Island. Do I have a horn coming out of my head?
Yeah, is the Bronx?
What?
The Bronx?
Brooklyn. I'm not from Brooklyn. No, I'm from Long Island.
Let me guess. I'll get the right borough eventually. Are you from Manhattan, like in the city?
No, I'm from Long Island. No, I hate the city.
I know
you know that.
I know. Yeah, I had to drag you out of the city.
And it, And now, after you've visited that fine city, you hate it too because there's nothing to like.
I'll say this right now: when I was walking around New York City, you know, I think my wife went somewhere. She was like in a place, like going to the bathroom, and I'm just standing outside this restaurant of this major corner in New York City, and I mean, I'm looking up at these tall buildings and just thousands of people everywhere, and I'm just getting claustrophobic. I'm just like, where's Vegas? This is right before we met you. I'm just like, oh my God, this is too much for me. I mean, I handled it because I'm not a wimp, but I will admit that it did scare me a little bit being the iron jungle. But I got something I want to ask you, RC. Okay. My opening monologue for the show was not where you're from. I obviously know you're from Long Island. Because I know that's my backup house in case I ever get kicked out of my house. I just got to go about 2,800 miles east. I got a place to stay. But
hey, and you're getting close to that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting very close. These pie, you know, not winning that fantasy football does do that to the wife. No. So patience. I was going to say patience is a virtue. Now, I get in my car, I got my Sirius radio, and so I get to hear all the fantasy talk. First of all, I heard one of our familiar favorites who I brought up in the industry posted about, you know, hey, you know, who is the only expert talking about Atlanta Falcon running backs in the preseason? That's what he said. And I'm sitting there going, excuse me? Obviously, you're talking about on Sirius Radio. You're not talking about the whole world, because I've been trumping up Devontae Freeman since last year, and me and RC must have gone on a blitz about Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. So, but patience is a virtue. I want you to comment on all this in a second, RC, because here's my patience thing. And I'm going to give my own example of it. Now, obviously, I do vouch for this strategy, and I go against the grain, which is probably why I win. I don't know. I go against the grain, and I say, hey, you know what? You don't got to jump all over running backs. That's old school strategy. That's like buying, you know, certain kind of stocks from the 80s that you still think are relevant today. It's not. It's not going to happen. Okay? It's about tech stocks. It's not about buying stocks in brick-and-mortar makers. Okay? So what I sat here and did is I didn't draft running backs. This isn't a home league. This is the league I just slaughtered you in. Okay? I absolutely bulldozed you. Okay? I'm totally making that up. I'm having fun right now. But I was 1-2. I was suffering, RC. I mean, my team is just getting smacked around. I mean, I was lucky to be 1-2. I really should have been 0-3, but I got lucky in week one. And of course, it's the Andrew Luck team, T.Y. Hilton team, Jarvis Landry team. But I have these running backs, and I didn't cut any of them, and I didn't and I stuck with my running games. I said I trust what I drafted, RC. And you want to know who my four running backs on my team is? I'm not going to mention the fifth one because he's no longer a member of my team. That's Joyce Bell. But the other four guys I got, okay, I got Melvin Gordon. That was the highest guy I drafted, I think, because this was a two-team keeper league. He would have been, I think, fourth or fifth round drafted, probably fourth. Definitely fourth. But, you know, I was a member of two-team keeper, so it was technically the second. Then I had Duke Johnson and Devontae Freeman and C.J. Spiller. And I waited on all these guys. I said, listen, I'm not going to go cutting people because, you know, number one, Spiller's coming off his injury. Devontae Freeman has to compete. Duke Johnson's a rookie, and so is Melvin Gordon. Well, you know, surprise, surprise. I mean, I'm still waiting for Melvin Gordon to bust out. He will. But the other three guys absolutely lit it up for me this week. Of course, Freeman 2 weeks in a row. But, you know, I mean, Duke Johnson's been glued to that passing game now because that's what he really is talented at. And he caught like 17 passes for 500 yards last week. Check those stats, RC. I might be a little off, but check those stats. And he's heavily involved now in that Cleveland Indian. Who cares what their name is? It's fantasy football, right? We're focused on the player. So in that Cleveland Indians offense, and okay, Browns. I'm kidding. I'm going to insult all our Browns fans, you know, who listen to our show because there's like five of them. But.
Is there that many?
Patience. I'm really probably over. I'm over exaggerating everything today because some of the things I hear in this world, you know, just the you know, mind boggle me. But anyhow, so patience is a virtue. If you went ahead and you were cutting C.J. Spiller, And I know he got a lot of his points that 80-yard catch, but he showed what he can do. And I know he, you know, he juked the Cowboy rookie linebacker. If that had been Sean Lee, odds are he would have been tackled after 10 or 15 yards. But we saw a lot in C.J. Spiller in that game, and we see that he's healthy now, and that's great. But he's not even the concern of mine. It's Duke Johnson, Devontae Freeman, and, of course, still the emerging, you know, Melvin Gordon in that wacky San Diego offense. What do you think about some of those guys and some of the other running backs that are starting to really, you know, come to light? I mean, obviously, Carlos Williams has been very active lately, and we'll get an update on his injury from you in that segment. But talk to me about, first of all, you can talk about the butt whooping you took, you know, after beating me 2 out of 3 leagues, you know, I teed off on you and won. But you don't have to talk about that, because I know that upset you because you were 3-0 and I was 1-2, and you probably thought, okay, it's a cakewalk. I'm going to just keep milking as long as I can. But no,
I never. Why would I ever think that when I play you, especially since did you not have Devontae Freeman, who, by the way, is on a historic tear, and and you can say all you want about talking about the Atlanta running backs in the preseason, but the thing was, the reason why these guys were going so late, I didn't draft Tevin Coleman in any leagues. I did draft Devonta Freeman, but I can't say honestly I was real confident that he would have amounted to anything. So, you know, certainly over the last 2 weeks, if you were lucky enough to grab him, consider yourself very fortunate. But going into the season, and certainly, you know, if Devonta Freeman was so great, why did Tevin Coleman beat him out, you know? So if not for the Tevin Coleman injury, this would not have happened. They would have been muddled in some kind of platoon. So you have to wonder essentially where these guys came from. Tevin Coleman came out of this year's draft class, which was probably deeper than last year's when Devonta Freeman came out. Devonta Freeman was considered around a third or fourth round pick. Tevin Coleman was probably ranked number 3 of among the guys that were coming out after Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon. And this was a draft class also with Duke Johnson, Amir Abdullah, David Johnson, T.J. Yeldon. So this draft class was pretty deep, and Tevin Coleman was, at least scouting-wise, more highly regarded. So going into the season, would you have thought that Devonta Freeman was going to take the job and run away with it and score 6 touchdowns? No, you did not.
Well, hold on. You just stop before you say anything else. Just remember the Halifax League, which is the wackiest league. I'm just finally adjusting to it. Who paid like $3,400 for Devonta Freeman? Raise your hand if you did.
No, I'm not saying. Okay. I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general. You were higher on Devonta Freeman than probably most, right? But. You know, if Devonta Freeman was so highly regarded, where did he end up going in the preseason? I can tell you, in terms of running backs, he was going way down in. He was the number 27th running back selected after guys like Frank Gore, Latavius Murray, Lamar Miller went way higher than him. Shane Vereen went before him. Chris Ivory went before him. In fact, the only guys that were going after Devonta Freeman, notably, were Rashad Jennings, Joique Bell, Joseph Randle, who, if not for the injury, you know, that actually would have turned out pretty well. Bishop Sankey, Ryan Matthews, C.J. Spiller. Guys like that. So if you grab Devonta Freeman and you might have been, you know, more certain that that was a productive pick than most, you consider yourself very fortunate. But like we talked about last week, Tevin Coleman comes back now. That's not going to help Freeman, right? So to the extent where he's at full health, Coleman, that is, what do you think is going to happen? Devonta Freeman should without question, has earned the prime role in that offense. There's no question he's done that because Coleman didn't come close to the production when he was in there when he was healthy. But it's not going to be 100% Freeman anymore. So you just have to wonder what...
No, no. Well, it wasn't 100% Freeman. I mean, you saw a lot of Teron... Is it Teron Ward? Did they say his first name?
Who is it?
Teron Ward. I think it's Teron Ward. You know, the other rookie that they have on their team who actually, you know, he spelled Devontae Freeman for quite a few, especially at the end of that game last week when it became a blowout, which is now something that is a little bit of a fear, you know, of when these games become blowouts, what's going to happen with how they're going to utilize Devontae Freeman and Tevon Coleman. But first of all, Devontae Coleman's coming off of a rib injury, so you know he's not going to be 100% no matter what this week. So I think this week you're looking at probably an 80-20 share, and out of that 20%, will it all go to Coleman or will it go to Ward? That's definitely going to be something that's going to be up in the air. I'm trying to look at right now how many carries Ward got. Cause I know Ward got quite a few carries last week, so I'm trying to bring that up. There we go. I see. So Teron Ward got 19 carries compared to Freeman's 14 carries. But a lot of that was at the end of the game when they were up 41-7, and they didn't want to risk injuring their running back, so they basically put the backup in. But right now, you're right. He's a hot hand. He's earned the right to have that role. I think they're going to ease Tevon Coleman back in. You're going to see him get probably along the lines of 8-10 carries this game. But that's not going to pull from Devontae Freeman's carry. And I still believe that he'll get up to about 20 touches. In this game, he got, like I said, he got 14 carries, and I know he caught some balls, too. He got 5 catches. So he had about 19 touches in this game out of 6 targets. So he actually technically had almost 20 touches. But I think he'll stay around that number. But it's the great production for Devontae Freeman is that they trust and love him in the passing game. I think he'll stay there no matter what. And I believe that this is, a player that's going to be a very strong, running back 3/flex running back the rest of the year. But let me ask you this, RC. Is this the time to maybe trade Devontae Freeman?
No, I wouldn't. I think he, at this point, he's really proven himself to be able to, basically be almost an elite back. Certainly, there's been nobody better the last 2 weeks. And whatever the Falcons are doing. But by the way, you also have to – the thing that also cast doubt in the preseason about the Atlanta running game was really the state of their offensive line, which, last year was very poor. And then going into this year, it didn't really look much better. So that was another reason to be cautious about these guys. But as far as, trading him, you might be able to, pull off a trade for really an elite player at this point. And if you could do that, then it would make sense. But if it's going to be something that's going to be, relatively give me an example of a trade that you might do, say if you can get Julio Jones for him, which isn't inconceivable, somebody out there might do that if they have no running backs and are deep at wide receiver. Yeah, I would do that.
It's funny that I threw out there that I just didn't get, and this was before the second week of 3 touchdowns, was I went for A.J. Green and Carlos Hyde for Devontae Freeman and then one of my receivers, I believe it was Brandon Cooks. I just wanted a more reliable wide receiver, and I loved Hyde, and I still do love Hyde, but that 49er offense is such a mess right now that I don't even know if I would like to do that trade again. But at this point, if somebody was able to upgrade my receiver position, because Brandon Cooks just seems lost out there right now, for the abilities he has. So that was a trade I threw out there, and it didn't get any bites from the guy who had those players, and I ended up canceling it. Because it just sat out there and, one of those type deals. But that's one of the ones I threw out. I also offered Devontae Freeman for Beckham Jr. Because obviously I'm trying to power up my wide receiving core. I think any fantasy team, if you're going to win in this league, especially when you have a 4 wide receiver set to start, you have to dominate with your 4 wideouts. You dominate with 4 wideouts, let the rest of your team mop up. And right now my 4 wideouts in the league that I'm making that trade in, which is the league I beat you in, recently, the home league, is pretty.
I'm sorry, what was the first trade that you were going to try to pull off?
Carlos Hyde and A.J. Green for Brandon Cooks and Devontae Freeman. This was after his 1 3-touchdown game.
So you were going to trade Cooks and Freeman for A.J. Green and Hyde.
Yeah, I mean,
that would have been an awesome trade for you, I think. Yeah, but now after the second 3-touchdown game, they might be more apt to do that. And I would still do that, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
Well,
no, I'm gonna put it back on the table. This is I'm in the home league to Broncos, and that's his name. His team name is Broncos. Obviously, he's a Raider fan. Obviously, right? I'm kidding. He's a Bronco fan. But no, I'm gonna probably put that trade back up because I do believe that Devontae Freeman is going to, no matter what, is gonna, you know, succeed carries to Tevin Coleman. And if Tevin Coleman comes in and looks like a nightmare as well, because that offense is just so deadly. I mean, everybody's looking at Julio Jones thinking, how can we stop Julio Jones? And that's, I think, why Devontae Freeman not only is open in the backfield for passes, and that's why he caught 5 out of 6, but he's also had these open, wide-open lanes, is because you have double coverage, you know, on sides to Julio Jones, and you have the other safety even eyeballing over there, and they're just trying to stop that guy. They, you know, and now it's opened up the field for Freeman. And besides, also when you're up, you know, when you start going up real fast on these games they've had, he becomes just a dominant figure. And you can show it by Ward, who also had 19 carries for 72 yards and I think a touchdown himself. You know, showed that, you know, basically kind of anybody can do it on that team. It's kind of one of those teams, kind of like the DeMarco Murray, you know, Joseph Randall, you know, combo of last year with the Cowboys, that when they were scoring a lot, they were in, you know, and with that offensive line, you know, anybody can push forward. So to me, you know, this is a guy that I would worry about going forward just because of playing time. That's my only concern. Talent, it's not a concern.
Well, yeah, you know, there's something. And by the way, I think you nailed it as to why he's been so effective, you know, at least in the early going. And that's that, you know, Julio Jones has just been so dominant that teams are just overemphasizing taking him out of the game. And last week, you know, in essence, they did. But it's obviously now they've got another thing to worry about with the Falcons, and that's their running game. But you know what's kind of interesting about Devontae Freeman is that if you look at, like, his comparison to last year, right now he's got, with the exception of touchdowns, which he's got 7 compared to 1 last year, but he's pretty much done the same exact thing yardage-wise as he did last year. Last year he had 65 carries for 248 yards and a 3.8 average. This year he's got 66 carries, 252, and a 3.8 average. He's not breaking off long runs. As a matter of fact, he broke off 2 20-yard runs last year and just 1 so far this year. So most of his damage has really been done in the red zone. But, you know, in terms of, like, his peripherals, I mean, he's still hovering under 4 yards a carry, which isn't bad by no means, but it's kind of interesting that, you know, I think what you see is what you get, except for the category of potentially fluky touchdowns. So if you've got a Devonta Freeman who's getting 80 yards a game and no touchdowns, that's a completely different commodity, obviously. And that's going to happen, you know, certainly with Tevin Coleman back there. So that trade that you mentioned, actually, I would definitely put that out there again and probably pull the trigger if you can do it. And this is a great week because Hyde did nothing, A.J. Green did nothing. And, you know, Freeman just went crazy again. And, you know, the other guy that's in that equation, Brandon Cooks, what do you make of him at this point?
I just want to let Kenny know, I'm going to get to Kenny in a second here. Cooks is one of those problem childs now. Because, you know, everybody, you know, kind of chalked up his last year's performance to his injury, obviously. You know, that kind of derailed him. And, you know, then being a rookie season and learning, and some receivers don't catch up as quickly as others. I mean, to be fair to him, he hasn't gotten a full 16 games under his belt in the NFL career yet. But I think his problems are not just his own, but the you know, obviously Drew Brees doesn't have quite the pop on it with, you know, with that arm, with his arm injury that he's had. You could just see in the Cowboy game. I've never seen Drew Brees throw so many balls into the ground that I saw throw there, and how many, you know, near interceptions. You know, he threw ball right in the arms of defenders, and it wasn't because he was missing his targets. It was because he just didn't have the power. So obviously that's affecting his ability to throw the deep ball, which is something that, you know, Brandon Cooks could definitely excel at with his speed.
Well, one thing about Drew Brees, he's never really been known for a strong arm. The thing about Drew Brees has always been about accuracy. And, you know, see, he's very similar in that regard to Peyton Manning. You know, a highly intelligent quarterback, knows how to read the field, and delivers the ball he might be, certainly at his peak, he might have been the most accurate quarterback in the league. So with Brandon Cooks, though, I think some of it's how they're using him. I don't think they're sending him on deep routes, really.
That's because of the weak arm right now of Drew Brees. And you're right. I mean, I didn't mean like he has to
be I don't know if it – it seems to be like designed how they view him as a player, which is kind of like a slottish type receiver. I mean,
and that's where his strength is. His strength really is being that slot guy, and now he's been propelled because of no Jimmy Graham and no really talented, you know, outside wide receiver. They put him on the outside, and I just don't think that's his most effective position.
So in the Cowboys game, is that where they were playing him, on the outside?
Yeah, he was on the outside most of the time. I mean, he was lining up on Drew Brees' right side most of the game. And, I mean, I'm sure there were some plays where he did line up in the slot. But for the most part, he was on the outside. And then, of course, they had Willie Snead, who's an up-and-coming wide receiver and looked very good in that game. He was lining up on the opposite side, sharing time with Coleman. But the bottom line is this. I mean, when you look at that team, you know, there's no longer a Jimmy Graham threat in the middle, which allows the safeties now to lay off of Ben Watson and Josh Hill and protect those outside wide receivers. So now he's got to learn how to, you know, get some clearance away from those defensive backs that are now no longer concerned about a Jimmy Graham. And I think that's a learning curve for him and for Brees, who's made a living over the last, what, 3 or 4 years with Graham. You know, now he's got to, you know, make a living doing it another way. And frankly, if you really look at that game, I mean, you know, Drew Brees wasn't really that good throughout the whole game until, of course, you got that last PBR pass to C.J. Spiller. You know, he still had a challenging game. And if the Cowboys could have held on to any of those three interceptions that went right through their arms, it would have been a really bad game for Drew Brees. So, you know, all things aside, you know, he's a good player, and I'm not giving up on him. I would trade him to get A.J. Green. But, you know, once the middle of the season, you know, hits, you know, if he's not firing all cylinders and putting up good fantasy production, you're going to have to consider him a bust and start looking elsewhere.
Yeah. Yep. I totally agree.
All right. Well, let's do this. Before we get on to the regular segment, let's get Kenny in here because I'm always dying to know how Kenny did, and I want to get him rocking and rolling. So let's get Kenny in here. Kenny, how are you doing?
Pretty good, Todd. How are you?
I had a good week, man. 6-3. Can't complain.
Oh, that's awesome. RC, how are you?
By the way, if you didn't listen to the beginning of the show, Kenny, one of those six wins were against the co-host here.
Nice. That's nice. What was the margin of victory?
Oh, I think it was like 200-120, RC. Is that what it was? No, I'm just kidding. It was like 155-129, something like that.
Okay. That's cool. Okay. All right. So what do you guys think about dropping Miller for Duke Johnson and a half-point PPR? And who do you think is going to be a better quarterback for the rest of the season between Jay Cutler and Ryan Tannehill?
You can go ahead and start with the the question for the running backs, RC.
That's a tough one with Lamar Miller. You know, granted he has been just awful, but I would wait and see. You know, now that there's a coaching change over there, that could actually make a. And it's not like they brought anyone drastically new. I think they promoted their tight ends coach. But nonetheless, I mean, something like that can really shake things up and really open up that that offense. I would, and I know you're in a 10-team league. Is that right, Kenny?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and that's why you would even consider dropping Lamar Miller, which would be nutty in a 12-team league. And I can understand why you want to do that. You know, Duke Johnson, not such a bad trade-off. You know, definitely solidified as the number two guy in a in an offense that should be running more effectively. Clearly the pass-catching guy in that offense. I mean, if you ended up doing this, I wouldn't call you crazy. Right now I'd say it's kind of even. I would err in the side of giving Miller one more week under the new regime and seeing what happened. And then as far as Tannehill versus Cutler, for me it's no contest. It's Tannehill without question.
Yeah, let me jump in on there a little bit, Kenny. I'm a big Duke Johnson fan, but that half PPR does hurt his value because that's where he comes in. I mean, listen, the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. You know they're going to play a lot from behind. And if they're winning, that's because they're running the ball. So that means no matter what, it's a win-win for a Duke Johnson. And they love this guy. I mean, they absolutely love him. So, you know, and they drafted him knowing they had Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West and all those guys they had, you know, in the preseason. So, you know, that should be a little bit of an afterthought right there in your mind about, you know, why were they drafted. So clearly his role is going to increase as he learns more and gets better and better. And he's frankly, he's just gotten better and better. So, I mean, if there's somebody else you can cut to hold on to both those guys, like I know last week we told you to hold on to Lamar Miller, and then he had an awful matchup in London against the New York Jets. So, I, you know, and this week he has a week off now, so he can, you know, relax a little bit. I would still hold – they are off this week, right, RC? No, they are. Of course they are. What am I talking about? I have Jarvis Landry in every league. They're off. So, yeah, I would sit back with him one more week. You have the bye week and see how this new coaching change does develop. As far as Tannehill and Cutler, let me tell you this. First of all, RC, for the person who had all who loved Tannehill, you benched him and you started Derek Carr against me, which upset the heck out of me because you know how much I love Derek Carr. You know I got that current bet going on. Derek Carr is going to score within 15 points of Russell Wilson, and I'm on target.
But let me tell you why I benched Tannehill, and I don't think that turned out to be a bad decision. They were playing the Jets in London, and Tannehill was basically harassed all day. And he once again tried to bring the team back and looked pretty good doing it. But he ended up with a pretty poor statistical day, if I recall, didn't he?
Yes. Oh, no, you made the right move. I just said it upset me because when I was watching that game at, like, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, I was just like, oh, my God, he's awful. I mean, I'm gonna just roast RC because I had to start Sam Bradford, by the way, because I had Andrew Luck and he was out. So I just started Bradford. That ended up looking okay. But, Kenny, back to you. You know, Jay Cutler, to me, is he's like Tannehill. He just has, and he has similar talent around him. I mean, I think he has obviously a better running back than Lamar Miller. And then, you know, and I know he doesn't have Jeffries right now to play with. Jeffries is still out this week, right, RC?
He's getting closer, but yeah, he's. And by the way, that's one of the as far as talent wise, I mean, Jay Cutler is as talented as most quarterbacks in the league. You can consider him really upper level in that regard, but as far as the having the intelligence for the game, that's a different issue. But the reason I think Tannehill is better is unless I'm missing something, his supporting cast this year is just without Brandon Marshall in that offense, and now you've got Eddie Royal over there who is always injured, and when he's on the field, sometimes he just disappears. Alshon Jeffery has obviously been banged up. He's really got, you know, Bennett's probably his most reliable guy right now. He's got no one to throw to compared to Miami. They have a lot of potential, you know, with Landry. They haven't even really used Stills yet. So I just like Tannehill's supporting cast a lot better than Cutler's.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with him on that. You know, I mean, if you look at the schedule, you know, Cutler's going to have some more favorable matchups. But in the end, you're going to be happy you're having Tannehill. And I was high on Tannehill in the preseason, and I'm going to stick with that, Kenny. And so I agree with RC. You know, right now, hold on to Lamar Miller, and you know, don't give up on those Dolphins quite yet.
Okay. All right, I'll roll with it. I'll keep hold on to Miller. All right, last two questions. Would you start Buffalo's defense or Broncos' defense this week? And also, do you think it's safe to drop Matt Jones?
RC, go ahead with the why don't you answer the Matt Jones question first.
Safe to drop Matt Jones. Well, once again, 10-team league. Who's your other running backs?
Ivory, Charles, and Miller.
That's it?
That's it. Yeah, the rosters are really tiny.
Okay, and if you drop Jones...
Two bench players, yeah.
Well, couldn't you pick up Duke Johnson for Matt Jones? Wouldn't that be a pretty smart pickup, RC?
Yeah, is that what you're trying to do?
I can do that, or I can pick up Hillman.
I would prefer Duke Johnson over Hillman. Todd, what do you think about that?
I would agree. That wouldn't even be a thought in my mind. The Broncos rushing attack is such a mess. It's worse than my laundry. So I would definitely pick up Duke Johnson. Let Matt Jones is, first of all, not even a starting running back, obviously, and he is the star of that team. He could be the star of that team. But that team is a mess itself. I know they won last week. You know, bravo to them. I'm not down for that. So I would definitely just walk away from Matt Jones if you have an option to get Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson's a far
more exciting player. I agree with that, because with Matt Jones, he's just, you know, he obviously had that great week unexpectedly against the Rams, where, you know, he rushed for, you know, the 120 yards and two touchdowns. And then, you know, but when you look at what he's done aside from that, you know, he's obviously not going to displace Alfred Morris anytime soon, it seems. So you're kind of hoping for a Morris injury there for him to become really relevant. Where with Duke Johnson, it really just seems that he's going to be a dependable flex guy, at least, where he's always going to be involved, at least in the passing game. So I think he's going to be a little bit more reliable from week to week.
On that question for your defenses, my favorite defense going into this season, I always like Cincinnati Bengals a little bit, but with the Broncos, and I got them in a few leagues, and you have a premier matchup with the Oakland Raiders. I know the Oakland Raiders I love Derek Carr and Amari Cooper, and they seem to be just doing great together. But the end result is that Derek Carr still makes mistakes. Latavius Murray is really just not performing very well. And I know it's on the road in Oakland, but Denver, this is a rival game. And so you can throw out anything possible. I just don't think that the Raiders are going to be able to stop pass rush of the Broncos. And it's going to be just a tough day for Mr. Carr. So definitely between them and the Bills, the Bills seem to be getting chopped up in the passing game. And in fact, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, Marcus Mariota being, a good sleeper start this week. So I would just take my chances with the really one of the best defenses in the NFL with the Broncos. RC, you going to disagree with me on that?
I'm sorry. The Broncos are playing who again?
The Raiders.
The Broncos are playing Oakland. And Oakland, believe it or not, has been, as far as like defenses versus offenses, believe it or not, they've only given up 5 sacks. And then the other choice was Buffalo against who?
Tennessee. Going to Tennessee.
Yeah, that to me is a better matchup. Tennessee has given up 12 sacks. And also, let's see, interceptions too. They've given up 49 fantasy points to defenses, where Oakland's only given up 27. So I think with defenses, your best bet is always to look at the team they're playing. And in this case, Tennessee is the weaker offense, and they seem to be giving up more points.
Well, Kenny, you know, you can go with RC. You can let me know next week which one you want to go with. I'll tell you this right now, though, but, you know, the Broncos are a little bit different team than some of the teams that the that the amazing Oakland Raiders have faced. So they're going to put a little bit more pressure on that quarterback regardless. But you can let me know who you go with. I think the safer one is the Broncos. Put you this way. Sometimes it comes down to matchups, if you really think about it. And if you think it's going to be a tight matchup, then you know, maybe you take a chance and go with the Bills, because the Bills are a more exciting team, even though they've been kind of fading, like they do always, right around week four they start fading. But if you think it's going to be, it's in hand, go with the more conservative Denver Bronco option.
Okay. All right. Yeah, thanks, guys. I'll roll with that. And definitely Johnson over Hillman, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. I agree, too. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks, guys. I really appreciate all the advice, as usual. It's always excellent and always good detail and patience and everything.
No, absolutely. And I want to know who you go with last week, because this is going to be our bet of the week now. You've just now, which you always seem to come up with our bets of the week, Buffalo versus the Broncos. And I want to know who you go with.
Okay, definitely. All right, I'll let you guys know what I call it next week.
All right, thanks, Kenny.
All right, man, take care.
ARC, you know, I'll tell you this right now. I mean, I think if it's, you know, when he comes on the show, and we got Jersey waiting in the queue real quick, so I'm gonna get to Jersey in a second. I'm gonna tell you right now, I think about him on playing, because you know, I mean, he calls in and we give him advice, and I always hope the advice goes well. Not like when you told Jersey not to start D'Angelo Williams and he went off on a tear. That's just, you know, that's a brain fart, bad luck. Before we get to Jersey though, I did have a queue question in the chat room. It's a good one. Should I cut C.J. Anderson for Joseph Randle? Basically, somebody cut Joseph Randle in his league. It's one of those leagues where he can only carry, I know this league, he can only carry four running backs. So he has three others. It's beside the point. But he's asking, should he cut C.J. Anderson for the esteemed and beloved Joseph Randle? R.C., I'm going to let you take this one first, since you know I'm a Cowboy lover.
Yeah, so you're going to be a little bit biased on this. But
absolutely.
I would say yeah. I would say yeah, because of the Dunbar injury. And, you know, you do have to worry about McFadden, but then again, is that really that much to worry about? And, of course, they have Christian Michael there, and he's going to see more activity. But he's probably going to slide into the Dunbar role more or less. To the extent where he could, you know, That's a really talented guy that just has never really been able to put it together in actual game performance. So, you know, it remains to be seen if he could actually even fill that role, or what role he could fill. In any event, I would think that McFadden would be more threatened, and McFadden would be better in the Dunbar role. And Randle has proven that he can be really the lead guy, and C.J. Anderson hasn't proven anything. I mean, certainly he was amazing at the end of last year, but we haven't seen anything near that so far, be it injury or whatever's going on with the Broncos. So in the interest of, like, winning now, I mean, I think I would do that.
Absolutely, and that would be the advice I'd give. You got to pick up Randle. Number one, Randle is a pass-catching running back. I mean, you know, the only reason he hasn't done more of that for the Cowboys is because they had Lance Dunbar. So I do believe the Cowboys are obviously going to incorporate more of, the, you know, McFadden, and they're going to try to start incorporating Christine Michael into that game plan, you know, as they go. But this is going to increase the number of touches for Joseph Randle, and particularly in the passing game, because when they would put on passing downs, yeah, you could put McFadden out there, but he's not as fast and as quick and really as good as being a pass catcher as Joseph Randle is. I think he's a much better north-south runner than probably Joseph, and I won't say much better, but he's better. And same thing, you know, Christine Michael is really a good, he's a runner. He's a power runner. So I like Joseph Randle. See, you guys, something about C.J. Anderson, let me tell you something. He could be a one-hit wonder. He could be one of those guys who came in, like you say, came in late in the season, absolutely dominated, but dominating in a very strong passing offense where teams are going in, looking at the passing offense and planning around that, planning around stopping Peyton Manning, Demaryius Thomas, and Julius Thomas. And the end result was, and Emmanuel Sanders, and the end result was C.J. Anderson, you know, picked up a lot of yards from that. Now that's not quite the same. He's fallen back. And when Ronnie Hillman takes your job, let me tell you something, you're not very good. So that's why, and just to let you know, in all nine leagues, I did not draft Ronnie Hillman or C.J. Anderson. All right, R.C., let's get to
Well, you almost
drafted.
Anderson in the half X league, and I talked you out of it.
You did, you did. Because I was desperate for a running back. Listen, my two running backs in that game or in that league are Yeldon. I'm blanking. I'm gonna say was T.J. Yeldon. Am I saying his first name wrong? I'm having a brain fart. T.J. Yeldon and Devontae Freeman. So I kind of needed a running back. But thank you. All right, let's get Jersey in here. Jersey,
hey,
how's it going?
Hey guys, real good. Hey, 3-1 in that big league, tied for first. You know, 1-3 in my standard league. Can't get things going the last couple years. My question is, you know, we have a flex player in that PPR league, but I got Foster coming back now. I got Le'Veon Bell. I have Hill, and I also have Deion Lewis, and I have D'Angelo Williams. Where I'm weak at is my receivers. I got Cooper, who's good. I just want to get rid of Holman. I have Benjamin on there, and I also have Devontae Adams who's hurt. Now, I just put in for somebody drop Kendall Wright, which would be a nice pickup, but I won't know till Saturday morning. I was going to drop Holman for there. But would you, in my league, based on what I have in the running back stuff, would you give a guy Arian Foster for Demaryius Thomas in the PPR league?
You mean as a trade? You're pretty deep, right? Did you say you've got Bell, you've got Hill?
I got D'Angelo Williams, Le'Veon Bell. D'Angelo really isn't going to do it, but I have Le'Veon Bell, I have Hill, and I have Deion Lewis.
Okay. Right. Well, who's a little bit of a wild card because, you know, you don't know if it's him or Blunt from week to week, but nonetheless, you know, he's been pretty reliable. Who are your receivers?
See, that's where I got Cooper, who's great, you know, Mark Cooper, but where I'm hurting at, you got Devontae Adams, who's been a bust. He's hurt. I got Benjamin, who I haven't played, who's not a bad option at times for Cleveland because he's really the only option. And I got Bolton, who's a bust because Kaepernick shouldn't even be quarterback, and he's horrible.
Yeah, I like your idea. I like your idea of dropping Bolden for Wright if you can do that. And then I also like your idea of trading Foster for Thomas. I think you'd probably do well doing that.
You know, listen, I'll say this. Let me tell you this, Jersey, about Arian Foster. And I'm an Arian Foster fan. You know, I mean, I've liked him, but that groin problem is going to spring up again. It does every year for the last 3 years. He clearly has a chronic problem with it to the point where he now would have surgery on it. So I'm going to tell you this right now. You know, he's kind of a hot spot right now. People are really excited about him. He's coming back. I mean, what you might want to do, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the Jerry Maguire thing. Do you sign the contract early in the season, you know, and get less money, or do you play out the season and get a lot of money? So this week is a telling week for Arian Foster because he's going to get a buttload of carries this week, and they're going to focus the offense around him. If he does awesome, that Demaryius Thomas trade looks a lot better, obviously also for Demaryius Thomas if he has a slow week again. Demaryius Thomas is one of the single most dominating wide receivers in the league, and he is going to have his games. And so if you could pull that off either early, you can make the offer now, you know, and if he says yes, great. If he doesn't, then wait it out and see, you know, if they dominate. But I'm going to tell you right now, Arian Foster is such a risk that even if he puts up 140 yards and two touchdowns and catches five balls for another 40 yards, he's just, you know, not worth the risk if you can get a healthy Demaryius Thomas.
Right. That's what I was figuring. There's a guy he's 0-4, and I said, I put it out from last night, so I was waiting to see, because I tried to put him for Allen Hurns or Hankerson, and those guys – one of them took Hankerson, and his dad took Hurns. So, you know, I was like, I was 9 out of 12 or 10 out of 12, and I didn't get those guys. So I figured, well, then somebody dropped, what's his name, Kendall Wright. So I put in for him. I dropped Bolden to put in for him, and I won't know until midnight Friday night when I decide and win. I'll know if I get him. So I'm just trying to – that might not be a bad thing. But in my standard league, my question is, I have Ryan Matthews. I have – Melvin Gordon, I have Lacy, and I have Deion Lewis. Now, my receivers, he's been killing me, man. My first pick was Eddie Lacy. My second pick was Gordon. My third pick was Evans. My three picks stick. I mean, absolutely stick. And I'm 1-3 here. How I won that one game, I have no clue. But a guy in my league proposed to me, because my receivers are, I have Ruben, I have Pierre Garçon, I have Evans. And what I'm doing is I was going to get rid of what's his name, Rashid Matthews, and I was going to pick up either Hankerson or Alan Hearns because it's a standard league. I do have Ryan Matthews. So I wanted to know which one of those two you thought would be good to pick up. But there was a trade proposed to me. A guy wanted to give me A.J. Green, who I hate. He usually stinks when I have him. And he wanted to give me Crowell for Eddie Lacy and Devontae Adams. So I didn't know what you thought of that.
Well, first of
so
all, let
you...
me tell you something right now. George, hold on one second. I got on the A.J. Green thing. I think you should steer clear of A.J. Green because I have heard him say in press conferences, as long as I remain jersey-free, I'm going to play well. So, I mean, and Todd Freeno-free because he did the same thing for me. But in the end, that's a guy you want on your team. He was my keeper for a couple of years, and I let him go for T.Y. Hilton, and I'm paying the price for that this year. But go ahead and answer it, R.C. I just wanted to – that was kind of a joke. He really didn't say that, by the way, for the record.
So basically, you would get A.J. Green, and who was the running back?
He would give me A.J. Green, who, when I've had him in that center league, he'd done nothing for me over the years. And he would give me Crowell. He's really it's Cleveland's running back, which isn't that good. And he wanted Lacy and Devontae Adams. Now Lacy struggled the first four games too, but again, I have Mike Evans who maybe will go going, maybe he won't. I got Gosan I could use because you only start two running backs and two receivers. I'm putting in for either Hearns or Ankerson because after you answer this question, I want you to tell me which one of those two would be the best one because I get the first pick. So, you know, I would have Evans now. I got Gosan. I got Ruben. And I'll be getting Randall Ruben. And I'll be getting rid of Devontae Adams. Or I'll be getting rid of Hankerson. And I'm going to either pick up Evans. But not Hankerson. I'm getting rid of Rashid Matthews. I'll either pick up Alan Hearns from Jacksonville or Hankerson. So I might be okay. I might not need to even really do the deal. But when I did the trade analyzer, the deal was A.J. Green and Crowell. And giving away the other one. So I just want to see what you thought. And he already has Marshawn Lynch.
I'm kind of thinking that the A.J. Green, Crowell, I think you've got the edge in that trade, but not by much, because it's really Lacy and A.J. Green are in my view, a wash, you know. So you're giving up like a elite running back for an elite receiver. I think, and then the thing with Devontae Adams, you know, it's like obviously he's got the injury issue, but you know, in that offense, I mean, when he comes back, you know, he's definitely, and this is why this guy wants him. You know, he could be really a difference maker. Crowell, I think, is going to be fairly consistent, but not exciting.
Right.
So, I mean, to me, it doesn't really help you all that much. I think you got a slight edge where you've got. Really a consistent running back, but it's a trade down, obviously, from Lacy. You get an elite receiver, but as you guys know, you know, A.J. Green is not the most consistent guy. So week to week, you know, he can go crazy, and then he can, you know, catch five, passes 37
PPR,
yards.
If it was PPR, it might be a little different. But in non-PPR, you need yards.
Right.
I
think you got the right idea with, like, you know, looking on the waiver wire. Although I think Matthews looks pretty good, and I'm not sure that Hearns or Hankerson are that much of an upgrade from him. So I'd be kind of apt to just stay pat. I mean, unless you feel good about this trade, I don't think this is going to hurt you. It could actually be the right thing to do if Adams never pans out, because that's really the question mark in the whole deal. You know, you're getting two sure things, and he's getting one sure thing, and a guy with a lot of upside or a guy with bust potential. You know, so it depends on how you feel about.
Problem is you can't trust Gordon, even though he's a starter. And again, you don't know what Lewis is going to do because, you don't know what that is it a bell of treat or a bell of trick? And then Matthews, you don't know what's going on with Ryan Matthews because is it going to be him? Is it going to be DeMarco Murray? You know, Sproles, you don't know. So, you know, for most of the part, as a running back, Lacy should get the stuff. Why he's not putting up what he's doing, I have no clue because I had the fifth pick in this league. The guy after me picked DeMarco Murray. You know,
your team's good. The guys that are killing you right now are Evans and Gordon. Evans, I think, you know, he's got that rookie quarterback, and that adds a little bit of doubt. But once he gets going, then you're going to remember why you drafted him. And I think he will. With Gordon, I think it's the same thing. The thing that's really holding him back is really they've had a lot of problems with the offensive line. But, you know, really, I think Gordon has looked pretty good. He's still getting about 55% of the carries over Whitehead. You know, last week was a little discouraging where at the end of the game they went to Whitehead exclusively, maybe because, it was a hurry-up situation and they wanted to go that route. But Gordon, I think, is going to end up being pretty good, and Evans, I think, is going to be a lot better than he's been. So your team really isn't as bad as it seems right now, I think.
It's just that I've been going against guys putting numbers up. In my other league, I'm the one that's usually putting the numbers up in that PPR league. So that's why, you know, I guess I'll stick with what I got and wait it out. Because, like I said, I'm not a big AJ fan. But this is another reason why. Guess what, guys? Nobody's brought this up. Who throws good in September? Dalton. Who chokes in October and November? Dalton. Who does Dalton throw to? AJ Green. So, you know what I mean? So now you have to think about it. Last question, I'll let you go. If I don't get Kendall Wright in the league, what do you think about if I drop Bolden for either Willie Snead or that guy from Baltimore, Tamir Akeem?
I would drop Bolden in a second for Willie Snead. Not so much for Akeem. Yeah, right, Todd? Yeah.
Yeah, I would do for either one of them, but Snead is an up-and-coming receiver. He looked absolutely awesome in preseason. And Drew Brees, you know, formed a tandem there. And then he just continued it. And he's actually taken a lot of the targets away from Brandon Cooks. So Snead is definitely a guy you want to target. But even Kamir Akeem right now is a guy with Gilmore hurt and Senior out. Kamir Akeem is really between him, Max Williams, and a Boyle, I guess, that other tight end they have. There's not a lot of targets there, but definitely he's the pickup of the week as far as receivers are concerned.
Now, between Kendall Wright, Snead, and Akeem, who do you like in what order? And then that's my last question, because I put him for Kendall Wright, figuring he's the better one with scoring the most points so far, on an offense with Mariota and stuff, but I got to wait until, like I said, Sunday morning, Saturday morning, if I get it, because somebody dropped him last night and picked up Fred Jackson. Snead and Akeem are available now, but if I grab one of them, then that knocks me out of the waiver thing, let's say for Wright. But between those three, which order do you like out of that? Out of those two?
I would go Wright, Snead, and then Akeem. And I think Wright is the safest guy because he's got the track record. You know, he's got the history of actually being a reliable receiver. He's got a new dynamic quarterback who, you know, is going to have ups and downs, but mostly ups, I think, through the rest of the year. Where Snead, and Todd might rank him differently, but Todd, do you think Snead should go above Wright?
I was thinking about that, RC, but I'm going to stick with Wright just because Snead's really more of a third down possession receiver right now. I mean, he's still developing. Wright's out there. So I would say, yeah, you definitely want to go for Wright first. But Snead's
okay.
Close. I mean, by the end of the season, we could be talking a whole lot about Willie Snead. You know, right now it's only week four, and he's still developing. But right now, if I had to make the call right now, Wright's definitely the better choice.
Yeah, because I don't trust Trayvon Austin. He's had two good games, but he scares me. You know, he's available, but Trayvon's a guy, he could be a hit or miss. And like you said, Willie Snead's about 44 points in my leg, and I think Kendall Wright scored maybe 50-some points. So like you said, they're close, like you said, in regards to 144, Kendall Wright has 51. So there's about 6-point difference. You know what I mean? It's pretty close, 7-point difference.
Jersey,
so.
did you say Tavon Austin is available too?
Yeah, Tavon Austin's also available.
Do you get points for return yardage?
Nah, it's just a PPR league. Because like I said, I got Travis Benjamin, who I haven't used. And, you know, he's only for wide receiver duty. So, you know, on that part there. So I have him. And I have Devontae Adams sitting in this PPR league too. I've been going with Bolden and Amari Cooper. so that's why I wanted. I needed another good one because, you know, Brandon LaFell is after, but he might not be coming back till week seven. Plus, you got to see what he does in that New England offense. I kind of need a little help receiver-wise because in week six I'll lose Amari Cooper anyhow for a week. So, again, I'm looking for somebody I can maybe plug and play and do it. So I'm thinking like you, Kendall Wright, maybe Snead. But like I said, Trayvon Austin, now that they got Gurley back, it may open up stuff for Austin because now they got a running game, which they didn't really have for the first 3 weeks. And now maybe Austin will have some availability with Foles. So I don't know what you think of that. But that
I really don't mind Trayvon Austin. I mean, that team's got a lot invested in him because, remember, he was really their first-round draft pick a couple of years ago, and they never really figured out a way to use him. He's a little bit on the smaller side, so that's why they had to be more creative about it. But, you know, definitely in a league where you get return yardage, I mean, that's a guy that can break any given week. Even if you don't, I mean, I would probably drop Bolden for Trayvon Austin if you can't get the other three guys. And the reason why is, obviously, you know that San Francisco's offense is just completely dysfunctional. It's hard to really tell if ever get going. You know, so I think, and St. Louis, you know, is definitely a healthier situation. So, you know, as a fourth option, I would probably drop Bolden for Austin as well.
And should I hold on to what's his name for a while in case something happens to Le'Veon Bell, D'Angelo Williams? Because I have Lewis, who's my flex now. I have Foster in as a running back, and I have Le'Veon Bell in there. So basically, and I also have Hill. So Hill's actually on my bench now. So do I drop D'Angelo Williams for another receiver to have? Because like I said,
A guy that I've seen out there, D'Angelo Williams has really done nothing ever since Bell's come back, and that was a little bit predictable. If you want running back depth, I mean, a guy that I've seen out there pretty often is Charles Sims. I would definitely, if you want to go running back, I would drop Williams for someone like Charles Sims. And then if you really feel weak at receiver, then, I would drop Williams for a receiver. Todd, what do you think? Is it safe to drop Williams?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I would definitely cut loose on D'Angelo Williams, especially if you're having problems at wide receiver. You have enough depth at running back that you don't really have to worry about D'Angelo Williams. And I got a feeling Le'Veon Bell is going to be okay. He's a pretty tough guy.
Yeah, he is. He's a stud. All right, so I'll definitely drop all of them for one of them. And then maybe I'll drop, like you said, DeMarco Murray for another one of those receivers. And then I should keep probably Calvin Benjamin or Travis Benjamin. I guess I got to keep Davante Adams because, like I said, if he comes back healthy, it is an offense that he could produce down the road, you know what I mean? But I'd have to wait and see. Cooper's a definite plug and play. And if I can get Kendall Wright, I'm pretty set then. Then I'll look to pick up maybe Snead or somebody and get rid of D'Angelo Williams. Then I got some options to play, two of my receivers or a fourth receiver as a flex or a third, or excuse me, a third receiver as a flex or a third running back. Yeah. And then on the matchup this week, we're getting strong stuff there. All right. Hey, guys, I really appreciate
it. Wait, Jersey, one thing. Did you say you were going to drop DeMarco Murray?
No, D'Angelo Williams. Because I have, like I said, what's falling off of me, Hill. And see, this league doesn't do a lot of trades, hardly ever. So, like I said, when I talk to the guy, I said, hey, what do you want for, I'm not going to give Bell up, but he liked Foster like me because in another league, in the top league, this guy followed like what I did in the league that we're in together. And so I'm figuring he would want maybe Foster for what you call, but he hasn't got back to me yet. I proposed it yesterday. So, again, I wanted to see what you thought about that because I am weak in this league at receiver. Yeah, I'm 3-1. I just put the weekly high up again for 2 weeks in a row. But, you know, 1 week guys. Another guy had a lot more than me because my receivers didn't work that strong. You know what I mean? So it happens. So that's why I wanted to get your guys' information. And, again, I'm sorry for taking a lot of your time, but it was really important, some of the questions. Over the years, you guys have been great with me, and I really appreciate some of the ways it helps me take some of the information we talk together and put it together and say, all right, this is what they're thinking, this is what I'm thinking, and I make my decision that way there. So I really appreciate the time you guys take with me, and best of luck to you this coming week. And once again, thanks again for taking my calls. I appreciate it very much. And guys, have a nice evening.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, man. Yeah, your team's going to be fine. You got a good team.
Excellent. All right. Okay. All right, RC. Here we go. We only got a few minutes left, and I have a couple more questions to get to you. We'll find out what Jersey does. And he's absolutely right. I mean, keeping depth at wide receiver is so critical this year. And that's something that people need to focus on right now with all the colossal injuries that are coming into, with the wide receiver position. I mean, I went out and I picked up a slew of guys out there right now. Like Kamir Aiken, I picked him up, you know. I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to start him because he's deep in my depth charts. But having a bench right now is a necessity. And if you trade away your bench, you're going to fill it later in the season. A couple of things. A question that I was asked, I want to ask you right now, really quickly. Alex Smith or Sam Bradford this week, who would you start? You have Alex Smith at home against the Chicago Bears, and you have Sam Bradford, I believe he's on the road against the Saints. I can't remember if he's at home or on the road.
I don't know about you, but if the option
not the Saints, I'm playing the Saints. I'm sorry, Green Bay. Where is he? Hold on a second. I'm blanking on. Yeah, Bradford's playing the Saints. There you go. He's in Philadelphia. So both are at home. Bradford, Saints, Smith, Chicago.
So I'm sorry. Bradford's at where is he playing?
Philadelphia. In Philadelphia against the Saints.
Against the Saints, and then let's see, Alex Smith is at home against Chicago. Generally, though, I mean, if the choice is like, you know, the measles versus Alex Smith, I'm going to take the measles. You know, so I'm just going to say Sam Bradford by default because I just see no reason to ever start Alex Smith. I realize, you know, he's a competent guy and, you know, he wins games and. But I just really see no reason to really ever start. And, you know, he's got a good receiver now with Macklin. But the problem is that really him and Kelsey, you know, are the only thing he has. But that's really a Jamaal Charles offense. And at least with Bradford, I mean, he showed a pulse last week. So I think, you know, you started him against me. I know he had three touchdowns, right? 200, I think it was like 270. 270 and three touchdowns. So, you know, maybe he's turning the corner. You know, he's in a more potentially prolific offense. I'd go with Bradford.
Yeah, I would stick with Bradford too. I mean, it's an intriguing matchup for Kansas City. I mean, they're coming off all these losses. They play very well at home. So I understand the question, but in reality, you know, you got Bradford going up against a very weak Saints defense that's going to be in violent Philadelphia. So I would say go with Bradford. One more interesting topic that came up is one of my favorites. Ahmad Bradshaw paid a visit this week, RC, to the Colts, and I noticed in a lot of expert leagues that he was picked up. If you remember how dominating he was, he's only 29 years old. I mean, it's not like this guy's like an aging like a Fred Jackson. He's healthy. He's off his injury. His one game suspension has been cleared of that, obviously, because we're in week four now. So, you know, is this – I mean, I picked him up. I'm not going to lie. I picked him up in two leagues because I had him before he went down last year to injury, and he was just filthy with the Colts. And the Colts need some balance that offense. They need somebody that Andrew Luck can put the ball to when that pass rush comes on him, and then he can run down the field for 10, 11 yards and get a lot of catches like that. Is this a guy that you should add to your roster in the case that he signs? I know he's not going to play this week. Colts play tomorrow. I mean, there's no chance. There's not a chance in heck, even though he knows the offense, that he's going to play if he's signed today. But this is a guy that could be signed very quickly by the Colts, especially if they have problems against Houston tomorrow. What do you think? Is this a flyer you would take in advance of him getting signed?
You know, I didn't realize until you said it that he's only 29 years old. Because when you said Ahmad Bradshaw is visiting the Colts, I would have been more interested hearing that Terry Bradshaw is visiting the Colts. But, you know, at 29 years old, I know that he had that serious leg injury, which now is supposed to be completely healed. Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a guy that's going to be completely off the radar, and I think it does make a smart stash, yeah, because he will come into the Colts situation and probably outplay Frank Gore if he's completely healthy, I think.
Absolutely, and that could be a – this is one of those like little sneaky moves you can make. I mean, it may not count out. They may not sign him. I mean, people get invited for workouts all the time for NFL teams, but – if he, you know, if they, you know, they obviously know they need help. They have Robinson behind Gore, and he's a, you know, he's had fumble issues, and he's a rookie. They need depth in that area, and they need somebody who can really swing out and really open up that offense for them. Because really, right now, it's down to Dante Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton. You know, there hasn't been too many sightings of Colby Fleener, unless Matt Hasselbeck is in there. And certainly Andre Johnson's all but disappeared. So this is something that they need this other element. I think it would be a genius signing to sign him. I mean, they cut Ballard not too long ago as well. So there's pretty much an open spot for him. I don't see why by the end of this week he's not a Colt. And if he's not a Colt, maybe he'll be a Dallas Cowboy. Who knows? I mean, I just can't imagine why people aren't picking up on Ahmad Bradshaw. But that's a guy that I like, and he can end up being a real sneaky free pickup for you that can really produce for you. So if you have a player you can cut, I would take a flyer on him before I would take a flyer on Christine Michael. RC, any other major news? We kind of ran out of time with the phone calls, but I know there's a few other things going on, so why don't you let us know?
Well, yeah, the injury situations, you know, I think you've heard Andrew Luck is looks like he's definitely heading in the right direction where but it's a little bit of a mystery. It's going to be risky starting him on Thursday. So you're going to have to take a chance with that. DeSean Jackson is nearing a return, so that's good news for the Redskins.
On Luck, let me ask you, you own Luck in a bunch of leagues. And now you know I own Luck in two leagues. Would you start Andrew Luck if he's going to play?
Yes.
Yeah,
if he's going to play
against Houston.
You know, there was a rumor out there saying that he had like a partially separated shoulder, but then that was dismissed. So assuming that's not true and he was really just recuperating from a, you know, just a relatively minor shoulder injury, I would absolutely start him this week if he was cleared to play.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay. And then
also, I'm sorry?
Keep going.
Oh, Andre Ellington is due back this week, and that is going to mean that Chris Johnson is expected to still have a fairly big role. David Johnson, it's unclear. And, you know, and this guy just drives me crazy, David Johnson, because I have him in, geez, probably like five leagues. And the week I started him, he did nothing. And then all the other weeks when he was on the bench, every time he touches the ball, he scores. And even last week where he had an absolutely miserable game where, you know, he really just caught four of his 10 targets. He had a fumble or whatever happened. He still had a pretty good week, you know. But the one week I started him, you know, that's the week he gets 4 points. But now it's, you know, I don't think you can even take a chance on him. I mean, you know, what do you have David Johnson in anywhere?
No, I was not able to draft him in any leagues.
Well, meaning that you didn't want him. And you
Well, you know what I think about the Arizona Cardinals with their running backs.
Right. I can't blame you. Jake Hutner was...
So what did I say really quickly, what did I say last week? I said the Cardinals are playing, you know, way above how good they are. That's because they've played pretty much three of the crappiest teams in the NFL, and now they got challenged by a very good defense, and all of a sudden Larry Fitzgerald came back down to the ground, Chris Johnson came down to the ground, and they lost. They didn't even win the game, which I didn't see that happening. And that's going to be the motif for this team going forward is when they play challenging teams, you know Larry Fitzgerald is my favorite player in the league, and I love him to death, but he's in the Andre Johnson, you know, stage of his career, and when, you know, I mean, even though he's better than Andre Johnson, wrong, but he's getting to that point, you know, and And I think you're going to start seeing him not get the – not. I don't think, I know. He's just not going to get the amount of points he's been putting up against the weaker teams. And he still has, if I'm not mistaken, he still has a pair of games against Seattle, you know, another game against the Rams. I mean, they have some tough games on their schedule coming up. And you're going to see that I would just unload. If I had a Cardinal, unload him. Trade him if you can.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I think, yeah, you're absolutely right about Fitzgerald. I think he's been playing over what we can probably expect the rest of the year. The surprising thing there is the disappearance of Michael Floyd. I think, and I know he had a fairly serious hand injury, I would think that Michael Floyd might be a guy to – he's probably dropped in a great many leagues. If you got a spot and need a receiver – he's a guy to definitely take a chance on. Other injuries, Vernon Davis has a knee thing, and he was limited today. He doesn't really have I think he was cleared in terms of structural damage, but he's still a little bit iffy. So he's a guy to stay. It's a shame because he was kind of making a comeback compared to his dismal year last year. Brandon Cooks has an ankle problem. He was limited today, but he should be fine. Randall Cobb, same deal, limited today, but he should be fine. Alan Hearns was also limited. James Jones, limited, but he should be fine. So Julio Jones, for the last 3 weeks, has had this toe hamstring problem. But then Sundays, he's out there. So I guess you really don't have to worry about him. A couple more serious injuries. Oh, Carlos Williams, this was a little bit of a surprise. He has a concussion problem, so you keep an eye out for him. Eric Ebron, he's doubtful for this week, and we're probably not going to see him for 3 weeks, actually. So I think that sums up probably the most immediate injuries right now.
That was, and like I just said, people, as we're going to wrap up the show now, stay patient and believe in your draft, and for the love of God, get him on Bradshaw. I'm kidding about the last one. RC, great show as always, and I'll talk to you again next week.
All right, good luck, man. So, hey, by the way, so our bet is Buffalo versus Denver, right?
Yes, and I'm also going to – I am playing in one of the Blog Talk leagues, so expect at least one loss this week.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, don't even pay attention. Just don't even look at the lead. Just walk away from it.
Okay. All right.
All right, adios.
All right, have a nice night.
You too.